And I'm here to tell you this evening that not only can you bring about those changes at this particular moment in history, we have got to bring about those sweeping changes. So canceling student debt and making public colleges and universities, some of you may think, oh, that's a big radical idea. It ain't a radical idea. Anybody know how much college costs in Germany? Free. Scandinavia. I gave a speech in Washington a couple of years ago. I got up there and I said, you know, in Finland, colleges are free. Some guy jumps up and he says, no, you're wrong, Senator. Actually, they pay us to go to college. All right. So, again, if countries around the world can do it, don't tell me that the wealthiest country in the history of the world can't do it as well. And let me give you another example. Let me give you another example of thinking outside of the box, of thinking big, not small. The United States of America is the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people as a human right. Today in America, uniquely among major countries, we are spending twice as much per person on health care as do the people of Canada or Europe or other industrialized countries. We're spending twice as much. Meanwhile, despite all of that spending, 87 million Americans, including many of you, are uninsured or underinsured. You all know what that means? That means high deductibles, high copayments, a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. Last year in America, some 30,000 Americans died because they did not go to a doctor when they should, because they had no insurance or could not afford the deductibles. Last year in America, 500,000 people went bankrupt because of medical bills. Now I want you to think about what that means. It means that when somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, trust me, you got enough to worry about. And yet because people get sick, cancer, heart disease, somebody in the family with Alzheimer's disease, that family could very well go bankrupt. In a civilized democratic society, families should not go bankrupt because somebody became seriously ill. Meanwhile, while 87 million are uninsured or underinsured, the healthcare industry last year made $100 billion in profit. In fact, their profits are soaring right now. So we're going to say to the healthcare industry and to the corrupt pharmaceutical industry, which charges us the highest prices in the world for the medicine we need, we're going to say to them, sorry, your day is done. The function of healthcare is to provide quality care to all, not make billions of dollars in profits for large corporations. We are going to pass a Medicare for All single-payer program. I have been criticized recently, which is nothing new, I get criticized a lot for everything. Been criticized for presenting the most comprehensive program ever presented by a presidential candidate, or I think maybe any candidate for national office, on climate change. And I have been told by folks around the country, opponents, we cannot afford to spend the money that you propose in order to save the planet. Well, I'm not quite sure how much they think it is worth to save the planet. In fact, I can't think of an alternative to saving the planet. What's the alternative? All right, all of you have seen what took place recently, the terrible tragedy in the Bahamas. You knew what took place in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. You've seen what Hurricane Katrina has done to New Orleans. You've seen the flooding in Charleston. You understand what, sadly, the President of the United States does not understand. He thinks that climate change is a hoax. I think Donald Trump is a hoax. And I think it is imperative that we have a president, this is a pretty low bar, I must admit, a president who actually believes in science and listens to scientists. And let me just tell you what I think you already know. What the scientists have told us is that we have fewer than 12 years to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel into energy efficiency and sustainable energy, or else there will be irreparable damage done in our country and around the world. Irreparable damage. I always do that. All right. And what we are talking about are rising sea levels, which will flood coastal regions in the United States. Parts of Miami will be underwater. Parts of Charleston will be underwater. New York City, perhaps, and all over the world. What we are talking about is more drought. I was in Paradise, California. Anybody remember what happened in Paradise, California? What happened in Paradise, California is that in the midst of a unprecedented drought in California, they saw more and more wildfires. And one of those fires basically destroyed a city, a town of 26,000 people, killed 86 people, destroyed 18,000 buildings, caused $16 billion in damage in one modest-sized town. All over the world, whether it is Australia, whether it's India, whether it's Pakistan, whether it is Europe, whether it is Guatemala and Latin America, we are seeing the impact of drought on people's ability to grow food and get the water they need to survive. We are seeing the beginnings of mass migrations of people who go out of their country in search of food and water. What we are seeing is more and more extreme weather disturbances. We're seeing the acidification of the ocean. We are facing a global crisis. And if we do not act boldly, the planet we are leaving you and your kids and your grandchildren will be increasingly unhealthy and uninhabitable. That is the reality. So together, our job is to stand up to the fossil fuel industry and to tell them that their short-term profits are not more important than the future of our planet. And when we stand up to the fossil fuel industry, and when we transform our energy system, we are going to create up to 20 million good-paying jobs. But I just want to say to you, you know, this is an issue. I wish I could tell you, hey, it's a modest problem. You know, we could do a little bit here and a little bit there. I wish, from the bottom of my heart, I could tell that to you. I can't be honest and tell to you. What the scientists are telling us is that we face a major global crisis. And as president, I will not only do my best to help transform our energy system, but I will lead the world to transform energy systems all over the globe. And I don't know that it can happen, but my vision is, my effort will be to say to countries all across the planet, we are spending as a world $1.5 trillion on weapons of destruction designed to kill each other. Maybe, just maybe, we should pool our resources, spend $1.5 trillion on our common enemy, which is climate change. Senator Turner mentioned a moment ago an issue which is enormously important to me, and I know to all of you. And that is, we have a criminal justice system today which is not only broken, but it is extremely racist. Okay. We have more people in jail than any other country on earth. What I intend to do as president is to invest money in jobs and education, not more jails and more incarceration. And I'm here to tell you this evening that not only can you bring about those changes at this particular moment in history, we have got to bring about those sweeping changes. So canceling student debt and making public colleges and universities, some of you may think, oh, that's a big radical idea. It ain't a radical idea. Anybody know how much college costs in Germany? Free. Scandinavia. I gave a speech in Washington a couple of years ago. I got up there and I said, you know, in Finland, colleges are free. Some guy jumps up and he says, no, you're wrong, Senator. Actually, they pay us to go to college. All right. So, again, if countries around the world can do it, don't tell me that the wealthiest country in the history of the world can't do it as well. And let me give you another example. Let me give you another example of thinking outside of the box, of thinking big, not small. The United States of America is the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people as a human right. Today in America, uniquely among major countries, we are spending twice as much per person on health care as do the people of Canada or Europe or other industrialized countries. We're spending twice as much. Meanwhile, despite all of that spending, 87 million Americans, including many of you, are uninsured or underinsured. You all know what that means? That means high deductibles, high copayments, a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. Last year in America, some 30,000 Americans died because they did not go to a doctor when they should, because they had no insurance or could not afford the deductibles. Last year in America, 500,000 people went bankrupt because of medical bills. Now I want you to think about what that means. It means that when somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, trust me, you got enough to worry about. And yet because people get sick, cancer, heart disease, somebody in the family with Alzheimer's disease, that family could very well go bankrupt. In a civilized democratic society, families should not go bankrupt because somebody became seriously ill. Meanwhile, while 87 million are uninsured or underinsured, the healthcare industry last year made $100 billion in profit. In fact, their profits are soaring right now. So we're going to say to the healthcare industry and to the corrupt pharmaceutical industry, which charges us the highest prices in the world for the medicine we need, we're going to say to them, sorry, your day is done. The function of healthcare is to provide quality care to all, not make billions of dollars in profits for large corporations. We are going to pass a Medicare for All single-payer program. I have been criticized recently, which is nothing new. I get criticized a lot for everything. Been criticized for presenting the most comprehensive program ever presented by a presidential candidate, or I think maybe any candidate for national office, on climate change. And I have been told by folks around the country, opponents, we cannot afford to spend the money that you propose in order to save the planet. Well, I'm not quite sure how much they think it is worth to save the planet. In fact, I can't think of an alternative to saving the planet. What's the alternative? All right, all of you have seen what took place recently, the terrible tragedy in the Bahamas. You knew what took place in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. You've seen what Hurricane Katrina has done to New Orleans. You've seen the flooding in Charleston. You understand what, sadly, the President of the United States does not understand. He thinks that climate change is a hoax. I think Donald Trump is a hoax. And I think it is imperative that we have a president, this is a pretty low bar, I must admit, a president who actually believes in science and listens to scientists. And let me just tell you what I think you already know. What the scientists have told us is that we have fewer than 12 years to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel into energy efficiency and sustainable energy, or else there will be irreparable damage done in our country and around the world. Irreparable damage. All over the world, whether it is Australia, whether it's India, whether it's Pakistan, whether it is Europe, whether it is Guatemala and Latin America, we are seeing the impact of drought on people's ability to grow food and get the water they need to survive. We are seeing the beginnings of mass migrations of people who go out of their country in search of food and water. What we are seeing is more and more extreme weather disturbances. We're seeing the acidification of the ocean. We are facing a global crisis. And if we do not act boldly, the planet we are leaving you and your kids and your grandchildren will be increasingly unhealthy and uninhabitable. That is the reality. So together, our job is to stand up to the fossil fuel industry and to tell them that their short-term profits are not more important than the future of our planet. And when we when we stand up to the fossil fuel industry and when we transform our energy system, we are going to create up to 20 million good-paying jobs. But I just want to say to you, you know, this is an issue. I wish I could tell you, hey, it's a modest problem. You know, we could do a little bit here and a little bit there. I wish from the bottom of my heart I could tell that to you. I can't be honest and tell to you. What the scientists are telling us is that we face a major global crisis. And as president, I will not only do my best to help transform our energy system, but I will lead the world to transform energy systems all over the globe. And I don't know that it can happen, but my vision is, my effort will be to say to countries all across the planet, we are spending as a world $1.5 trillion on weapons of destruction designed to kill each other. Maybe, just maybe, we should pool our resources, spend $1.5 trillion on our common enemy, which is climate change. Senator Turner mentioned a moment ago an issue which is enormously important to me, and I know to all of you. And that is, we have a criminal justice system today which is not only broken, but it is extremely racist. Okay. We have more people in jail than any other country on earth. What I intend to do as president is to invest money in jobs and education, not more jails and more incarceration. Four years ago, I came here and I said we got to end the war on drugs. Well, I'm happy to tell you that in state after state after state, marijuana, possession of marijuana, has either been decriminalized or, in fact, legalized, and that is the right thing to do. Too many lives, all right, and people have been thrown into jail. People have gotten criminal records as a result of that. As president, what I will attempt to do is work with the states to expunge the records. You know, as president, what I will attempt to do is work with the states to expunge the records. Another issue that I know you're all familiar with and are concerned about is the need to end the demonization in this country of undocumented people. Trump and his friends are trying to divide us up based on the color of our skin or where we were born. We are going to bring people together, not divide them up. We are going to pass comprehensive immigration reform and a path towards citizenship for the 11 million undocumented. Through executive order, through an executive order on my first day, we will restore the legal status of 1.8 million young people in the DACA program. We will end the ICE raids, which are terrorizing communities all across America. And we will create a humane policy at the border, one which does not have government agents snatching babies from the arms of their mothers or locking children up in cages. And on another issue, let me be as clear as I can be. I happen to believe that a woman's right to control her own body is a constitutional right. And my promise to you this evening is I will never, ever nominate somebody to the U.S. Supreme Court who is not 100% pro Roe v. Wade. And there's another issue that I know is troubling to all of us. And I very often don't like talking about it because it is so painful. And that is the kind of mass shootings and gun violence that we have been seeing in this country in recent years. And when we talk about gun violence, it is not just the horrible deaths that we are seeing every year. What we're also seeing is children all over this country terrorized, frightened to go to school. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You know, school historically has been a place of safety. You go to learn, you go to socialize. You may like it, you may not. But you shouldn't be afraid of something terrible happening when you are in a school. So Let me just say this. This president of the United States will not be intimidated by the NRA. We will do what the American people want, and that is pass common sense gun safety legislation, including ending the sale and distribution of assault weapons in this country. You are not going to transform this country. We're not going to transform this country. We are not going to be able to stand up to the greed and corruption of the corporate elite and those politicians who they elect unless we have a mass movement of Americans and unless we have a campaign finance system which is based on small donations. And tonight I am very happy to share with you just the kind of an historic moment for our campaign. Today, we reached the level of 1 million individual contributors. Making 3 million contributions. No candidate, not Donald Trump or anybody else in this race, has done that. In fact, no candidate, to the best of my knowledge, has ever accomplished that at this point in a campaign. And these contributions, this tells you what our campaign is about, and it tells you what we're going to do in the White House. These contributions come from teachers. They come from workers at Amazon, at Disney. They come from waiters and waitresses. They come from factory workers. The overwhelming majority of our contributions comes from the working people of this country, and I'm very proud of that. And I would contrast that with how my good friend, Vice President Biden, is raising money today. And I would say to him, Joe, we are not going to make the changes that we need in this country when you go to three fundraisers in Chicago, sponsored by multimillionaires. We are going to make the changes that we need in this country when the working families of America stand up to the corporate elite, not take their money. Let me conclude by saying this, and I wish I could say it differently. This is an unprecedented moment in American history. We have a president who is authoritarian, who does not believe in democracy, who does not believe in the separation of powers, and who lies almost every single day. We have a world situation in which we face the greatest challenge that this planet perhaps has ever faced, which is climate change. What I hope you respond, when you respond to these crises, don't respond with depression. Don't respond in despair. Respond by standing up and fighting back and understanding what Nelson Mandela said, and that is, everything seems impossible until it is done. So I need your help. I need your help, and more importantly, we need each other. We need each other, yeah, to help me win the election, but we need each other to transform this country. We need great teachers out there. We need great childcare workers out there. We need folks, scientists and engineers who can help us transform our energy system into sustainable energy. We need great doctors and nurses and dentists who will treat the people who are not getting treated today. We need to create a nation based on justice, based on compassion, and based on love. And brothers and sisters, what I'm begging of you today, not just for me, but for you, is if you have friends out there, and I know you do, who think the political system is bullshit, you have one or two friends out there, right? You tell them that you're sick and tired of hearing them complain about the low wages they receive, the fact they're going to leave school $50,000 or $100,000 in debt. You're tired of hearing them complain about racism and sexism and homophobia and the tragedy crisis we face in climate change. Tell them that instead of just complaining, they must get involved into the political process. So I want to thank all of you for being here. Let us stand together. Let us defeat Trump. Let us transform this country. Thank you all very much.